Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and have conversations with people in the arts. I am Karin Merix, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, cultural philosopher, teacher, and mentor. Some people are unaware of most of what is happening around them, and so are unlikely to notice even the most obvious signs. Vadim Zeland. Most people move through life without truly seeing. They glance, but they do not observe. They mistake information for understanding. Their perception is dulled by distraction, by noise, by a culture that rewards speed over depth. Yet art begins precisely where observation returns. It is the act of awakening the senses, of rediscovering the living pulse behind appearances. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes of Being. The Double Chair, Part 2. I have spent a lifetime inside art as a painter, musician, art historian, and cultural philosopher, watching it unfold through hand, breath, and consciousness. Yet the question that haunted me since my early training still lingers. What is art, truly? Many have tried to answer it. Historians like H.W. Jensen, who wrote The World History of Art. Critics, even great conductors like Marius Jansen. Yet most circle around the mystery, never quite entering it. Art cannot be decoded by theory alone. It must be lived, embodied, and risked. There are moments when creation happens as if from elsewhere. That trance on stage when you played, and everyone is clapping and whistling, and you know something happened that bonded us. Or that quiet shock of seeing one's own painting the next day and whispering, "Did I really do this?" That is the threshold where craft ends and something else begins, where the artist ceases to act and begins to receive. So how did we lose the ground of mastery? True art begins not with inspiration, but with preparation. As Ian McGilchrist writes, the left hemisphere trains, classifies and disciplines, while the right receives, intuits and unites. The work of the artist is to bring both into balance. Before the letting go, there must be the learning. Before the freedom, there must be the form. This is what ancient called technique, the skill, and that was later interpreted by philosophers like Martin Heidegger as a mode of revealing or bringing forth, poesis, where the craftsman brings something that is not present into presence through their skill. In my case, painting the invisible visible. Carol Dweck's research illuminates the same truth. Skill is not fixed, and mastery is a living, trainable capacity. Talent often emerges through sustained intention, practice, and curiosity. But she also reminds us a subtle paradox. Prodigies, born with extraordinary aptitude, often stumble when external pressure replaces natural flow. The parents, teachers, or audiences who push them towards achievement inadvertently create resistance. And their innate energy, the joy and ease of creation, is interrupted. Meanwhile, those without obvious early talent can, through devotion and love of the process, cultivate extraordinary skill. They grow not because they were gifted at birth, but because they allowed themselves to learn, to experiment, to follow the call of their curiosity. Their advantage is that they do not have that extensive pressure behind them. Mastery then is not force. It is allowance, a relaxed, attentive state where learning meets love. So art, in its pure sense, is mastery in service of mystery. Without mastery, there is no vessel. Without surrender, no light enters it. So what is the divided brain, and what does it imply thinking about the loss of seeing? I return to McGilchrist, because he reminds us that modern civilization mirrors a divided brain. The right hemisphere, intuitive, embodied, and open to the whole, generates imagination, empathy, and living presence. The left, analytical, categorizing, certain, refines what the right perceives. When the left dominates, creativity becomes imitation. Perception collapses into theory, and art risks becoming technique without soul. In this modern tragedy, we see craft divorced from consciousness and productivity masquerading as creation. So to truly answer what art is, we must restore the balance. Right hemisphere perception fused with left hemisphere skill. Art is not a category of objects, but a mode of attention. And Leonardo da Vinci embodied this union, entering into the movement of water and the patterns of the human body until form and spirit were inseparable. Do you think art was hijacked? Well, in the 20th century, art became a vehicle for ideology. Abstract expressionism, in part funded by the CIA via the Congress of Cultural Freedom, was positioned as a showcase of American freedom against Soviet control. What was once a spiritual or transcendent practice was reframed as political strategy. The Cold War did not merely divide nations, it divided art from its soul. And from my last podcast, in a conversation with Karen van Hooy-Smith, we talked about Kazimir Malevich, the Black Square, that had already explored abstraction as a spiritual practice, the silence beyond form. And it became the center around the movement suprematism, and it was in 1913. So abstraction was not new in the USSR, although Malevich was born Ukrainian. He worked in St. Petersburg and Kiev. So with the Cold War, the CIA brought the American version to the EU to show the USSR what freedom was. That version hollowed the pure feeling and spiritual meaning behind suprematism and abstraction out, transforming transcendence into spectacle. So I started with a quote of Vadim Zeland. Now, what is the pendulum and the program Vadim Zeland's Transurfing, I highly recommend reading his book, by the way, offers a metaphor for modern art culture. Pendulums are energetic structures feeding on collective attention. Postmodernism became such a pendulum. And by rebelling against tradition, it sustained the very institutions it opposed. The critic who declared anything can be art unwittingly reinforced a system that profits from such uncertainty. So here, the belief that skill doesn't matter took hold. Artists said, I have ideas, but I can't draw. Treating lack of skill as a badge of intellectual purity rather than a gap to be lovingly filled. The growth mindset Dweck championed was replaced by conceptual fatalism. If you weren't born with it, fake it. The pendulum of negation still swings, dividing mind from matter, craft from consciousness. So, what does happen, or what happens, when art forgets its soul? Even masters of our age have felt the tension between worldly triumph and inner truth. Picasso confessed, "Today, I'm celebrated. I'm rich. But when I am alone, I do not have the effrontery to consider myself an artist at all. Not in the grand old meaning of the word. Giotto, Titian, Goya were great painters. I am only a public clown, a mountebank. I have understood my time and have exploited the imbecility, the vanity, the greed of my contemporaries. But at least, and at last, it does have the merit of being honest." This is awakening, not self-condemnation. Even wealth and fame cannot replace communion with the creative source. Many contemporary artists sense this tension. Damien Hirst's spectacle, Banksy's rebellion, Kiefer and Richter's meditative weight, Jenny Saville's monumental honesty. None are villains. Each reflects a civilization rediscovering how to see. Mass-produced canvases, AI-generated imitations, they muddy the sacred waters but do not destroy them. Water, as Da Vinci observed, always finds its way back to clarity. The invitation is simple. Turn toward what is real, toward work, what breathes, toward art that cannot be bought because it was never sold, art that lives in the act of seeing itself. So how can we then reclaim art as a portal? True art persists in hands that learn and hearts that listen. It is not an object or concept. It is a portal, a threshold between mastery and surrender, between artist and viewer, between the seen and the unseen. A painting becomes art not because it is clever, but because it holds presence, and the viewer completes it. The silent exchange is where art happens. Art cannot be created. It can only be received through a vessel trained to listen. And every great artist knows this. Art begins where the self ends. It is self-transcendence, not self-expression. So do we stand on the edge of a new cycle? Well, yes, I believe we do. The 20th century celebrated irony and fragmentation. The 21st, if we allow it, can return to unity and depth, not through nostalgia, but through consciousness. Artists of this new era are defined by integration. They know the value of craft, but also the necessity of stillness. They understand that skill is the foundation, not the enemy, of freedom. Perhaps art was never lost, only waiting for us to remember that true creation begins after mastery, in that sacred silence where hand, heart, and divine converge. So I ponder on this as a classically trained visual artist, a classically trained musician, art historian and cultural philosopher, exploring art as portal, not product. The meeting point between skill and soul. So I would like to invite all artists listening to this to pause for a moment and reflect on one simple yet profound question. Why do I do what I do? And then to take it a step further. What could mastering this skill bring to me? Not just in the work itself, but in who I become through the practice. And finally, consider this. How might I overcome the fear that I cannot create what I see, feel, or imagine, and allow my work to emerge fully from that place? There is no single answer, and the invitation is simply to turn inward, observe, and allow the questions to guide your next step in creation. I wish you a very peaceful
and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.